Peace, everybody. It's Die High State of Mind. It's your boy, E-Rule, and your man, State. What's good, man? It's like we was talking off online, man. It was a crazy weekend, right? From the Atlantic.
Oh, man. So, the story was... So, I hit up Dog. I said, yo, you feel like doing a pod? And Dog's response basically was... Bro, I ain't even feeling like it. And that was the first time, like, ever where I could say, like, dog was, like, he was not going to do a pod that night. So I'm like, all right, bet. Let's wait a few days. Let's cool off. Let's see what happens. Because if we would have recorded the other night, it would have been bad. What we would have been saying would have been...
It wouldn't have aged well. I know that shit. It would definitely wouldn't have aged well.
Yes.
What were your thoughts from the Atlantic? You thought like it was over, right? Because you know, I actually, it took me like maybe like an hour and change to do like this Tom Thibodeau, you know, thumbnail with fire and all kind of shit. I was about to go freaking crazy, man. So, you know, I'm so glad that didn't happen. But I was ready to say fire Tom Thibodeau, bro, after that Atlanta game.
So. You know, we go into the first quarter. We watching Alec Burks. He's playing well, by the way. He's right. Playing well. He's played well the last seven games, right? And we watching him run the offense as the point guard. We watching the defense switch. I'm like, oh, okay, I kind of like Alec Burks as starting point guard. But you know, at one point, him and Randall was like 3-for-15 or 3-for-12. I don't really remember, but you know. The first sign of me seeing Tibbs, like the light bulb switches on, he takes out Mitchell Robinson and he brings in Jericho Sims. So I'm like, okay, all right, cool. You know, we don't have no Derrick Rose. So I'm like, all right, cool. So Jericho Sims immediately blocks a shot. Immediately. He gets a put back dunk. And I'm like, yo, this kid... I don't know what's wrong with Mitch. I think the weight gain has taken away some of his leaping abilities. He looks real sluggish. I love Mitch. I would like to keep Mitch in for the Knicks to trade Nerlens. I want to make that clear. But this kid, Jericho Sims, is coming in the game. So the second quarter starts. And Tibbs does something that I thought he would never, ever do. He sits Randall, puts in Obi, leaves Jericho Sims in. And then he puts in Grimes and Quickly. So now I'm watching Quickly, Grimes, RJ, Obi, and Jericho Sims. And they are literally running Atlanta off the court. It's 37-30. I'm losing my mind in my crib. I'm like, what is going on? What is Tibbs doing? This can't be Tibbs who's coaching right now. And he actually let them get run, something that I always wanted him to do, because you can't give me all of these vets and say you're building for something for the future and you don't play the kids together. Like, what are we building for? So I see that lineup. I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. They start smacking the Hawks. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, he brings back in the starters. Like clockwork, we lose the lead. I don't know what is wrong, bro, with that starting unit, but I guess we're going to talk about it because Tibbs actually made a change after the game, the game previously before, but it's just like that bench is just keeping us in games, and I just love what I see from the kids, and I love – Tibbs for that. Like, I appreciate him for that. He's only doing it because people are hurt. Not going to work. God bless those guys. And he's not doing that because he wants to. He's doing it because he's forced. But I'll take it. So I'm happy with what I seen, man. I'm happy with what I seen.
I'm happy too, man. You know, not for nothing, it's the basketball gods. You know, that's like the taboo thing that we always say, you know, the basketball gods wanted this basketball guy. Yo, the basketball guys took out Derrick Rose, they took out Kemba Walker, you know what I'm saying, and took out Mitch, took out Nerlens Noel, took out Taj Gibson, took out all the guys that we keep complaining about all the time, and to force Tom Thibodeau, like you said, to play the guys that we that everybody wants to see play. You know, everybody wants to see Grimes play, everybody wants to see Jericho play, this, that, and the other down the line and stuff. But like the tale of two games, the Phoenix and the Hawks, you know, I was just looking at the way that they when Kemba's out there, it's like everybody forgets that he's there. Tom Thibodeau forgets that he's there. You know, he doesn't play defense. They're not running any pick and roll plays for him. You know, so he's basically just out there just like for no reason. It's like nobody knows what to do with him. He's like a canker sore on the starting unit. You know what I'm saying? If you get that, you know, so like once you have a canker score, that fucks up everything. You can't talk, you can't bite nothing, you know, you don't want to eat anything, you know. So that to use that as an example, that's the way our offense has been when Kemba Walker as a starter. Like, we got to do so much extra stuff just to get, you know, it to work, because Kemba Walker is just like a canker sore. Not in a negative way as far as like his attitude or anything like that. It's just the simple fact that the way that he plays, we just can't get it together with that starting unit. Yeah, but, you know, fast forward now to Burks starting. It was like night and day, because the ball immediately got taken out of Julius Randle's hands, and that's what everybody wants. You know, so Burks, you know, they basically run in the same kind of sets, but the thing with Burks is that he doesn't need, like, the two picks to come up. He doesn't need extra stuff. You know, he doesn't need to change, like, the whole offense just to get Kemba Walker off. Because I actually had made a pod just talking about how we need to get Kemba Walker involved. But looking back at it now, it's just like we have to do too much just to get Kemba Walker going, you know. But with Burks there, I guess with the chemistry from last year, they just know how everybody just knows how to play. So when Burks is out there, like, they don't just forget about him. You know, Burks is a big part of what's going on. And Fournier got hot too, you know, just for the simple fact. But having him in there, just the fact that the ball kept coming back to Burks, you know, like it was able to find Fournier, you know. So that's why Fournier was able to get off. But, you know, like you said, like that bench, man, when the bench came in, it was different now, because now now it was just running off of Quickley. And I feel like Quickley was running every single time he got it, man. I was like, yo, look at it. Look at this. You know, and I didn't do a halftime show because I was at work, man, because of the holidays. Holidays got messed up. But like every time Quickley got the ball, he was pushing that boy, bad boy, man. So, I mean, that definitely took the Atlanta Hawks out their game, because they couldn't, like, I feel like the Knicks were tired, but Atlanta Hawks was worse than us. You know, everybody was tired, but just that was the push to pace, the change of pace offense with Quickley. That was amazing, man. You know, so I think we're on to something. You know, that's one thing that I've been saying too. I feel like all of our problems could be handled in-house. You know, like, you know, trades and stuff like that. We were talking about that stuff. But we have so much depth that this problem could be fixed in-house. And I think we might have done it.
So what's crazy is RJ has a sickness right now. He's questionable against the Nets.
He's questionable. He's hurt.
Nah, he's got sick. A non-COVID illness.
Oh my god.
Oh god. So our team right now, we're literally right. And this is just so funny to me, because I always wanted Tibbs to play the kids. I just didn't want him to play the kids in this sort of fashion.
yo, how many times did I tell you that, man? You put it out there. You put the energy out there. You're going to get it. You're going to get it right back. So you kept saying you want to play the kids. You want to play Kevin Knox, all these different guys. Look, RJ's out. Who's going to get minutes next game? Kevin Knox, right? You're going to get everything that you asked for. I keep telling people that, man.
Oh, man. So
you're going to get exactly what you asked for.
But what I'm getting from these guys is exactly what I want. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to see Quickley improve. Quickley has definitely improved his game. Obi has definitely improved his game. RJ, he's in a slump right now. He is playing so pathetic right now. So I try to give him a pass. And he was playing next to Kemba Walker. Randle, you know, that's Randle. Randle going to be Randle. But Evan Fournier, my problem with him is when his shot not falling, he don't give me nothing else. So he's the next thorn in my side that I think needs to be removed. He's serviceable now. So he's serviceable now, but I would like an upgrade at that spot as well. But Burks is good for now. I like Burks at that spot. It gives Grimes, I think Grimes forced Tibbs' hand. And I think the front office and on down, they see that these other first round picks is playing. I just watched this. I just looked at a stat. Franz Wagner just had 25-6-5. First Orlando Magic rookie since Shaq to do that. Grimes got to play. They got to justify that pick.
But at the same time, Wagner is pretty good, man. He's a really good basketball player.
I think Grimes is pretty good, too. Give him the minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a whole different thing. I think, you know, Grimes is he already proved what he could do for us. But I don't think it's going to be on a Wagner thing. Wagner's really good, man.
I think Grimes got more to show. I trust Walt Perry. I trust Walt Perry. I think Grimes got more to show. I don't think he get enough opportunity to show that because we haven't played him yet. But I think he would get that opportunity now because Tim's seen enough. I've seen enough, too. Grimes defends. He defends better than Evan Fournier, if you want to be technical about it.
Well, you know, that's one thing that makes me feel good, too, because all the complaining that me and you do and all the other podcasts and stuff out there, you know, Tom Thibodeau and them, they must see the same thing that we see because they basically change everything that we've been saying, you know. So Grimes, every time we came out there, he's been playing good. He's always been a plus player. Ever since that time I told you that he was hot garbage in the summer league, I was saying he was hot garbage after the first two games. But he, you know, he's a plus player, man. So, you know, I agree, he's a good player, man. You know, that alley-oop that he threw to Obi Toppin was dope. Cause it looked like a play that he was gonna lose the ball. Next thing you know, it's up in the alley-oop. So he's a good basketball player.
But now, think about the dribble move he did. See, that's our offensive IQ. Think about the dribble move he did to get to that alley-oop. That looked like he does it in practice. Cause he did the behind the back and threw it up like he knew Obi was gonna get it.
Well, the behind the back move was kind of like simple, but just the how he got that pass up so accurately from the behind the back move, that was pretty dope, you know. So you know, I think, you know, he right now him playing off the off the bench, I think, like me and you've been saying that he looks fantastic, you know. That we were saying that we was ready to get Burks up out of here, you know, to put Grimes in that spot, but now, you know, Burks like is back to playing his finishing role, you know, as like the 99 cent James Harden, as you always say. You know, he's back to that now, so he's actually a plus player. So him starting the way that he's been playing, I think is perfect, man. So Grimes is gonna come in and taking that spot that everybody say that he could take. Quickly off the bench, I think when Rose comes back, I think Quickly's gotta keep his foot on the pedal, because I think that's what takes advantage of what he does well. Because when he slows down and tries to run half court offense, that's when he gets in trouble. But once if he's pushing the pace and stuff. Looking for Obi on the alley-oops and whatever, and then they can always fall back on Rose, you know, to set up half-court stuff. Well, I think that's going to be our bread and butter. Now that we have the starting lineup situated now, because, you know, you mentioned Fournier. I think Fournier played so much better off of Burks, man. You know, I just felt like he was in much more of a rhythm with Burks out there. You know, so with that being said, you know, I just think that right now, I think we might need to get maybe five good games, and with this rotation as it is, I think we're going to see a whole different Knicks team, man. I think we're going to see the Knicks team that we thought we was going to see in the beginning. That's what I'm hoping.
So I don't usually like giving you the stats, but I got to give you some of these stats because this is very alarming, right? Yeah. The Knicks have been outscored by a whopping 122 points in 441 minutes Kemba has played this season. A minus 122 is the worst plus minus by far any player on a winning team this season. That is very disgusting. In contrast, the Knicks have outscored their opponents by plus 113 points with Derrick Rose on the floor, plus 100 points with Emmanuel Quickly on the court, and plus 46 points with Alec Burks on the court this season. Our eyes don't deceive us. That all three of those guys have been playing well, right? Another stud. So Burks, named the starter. You got and shout out to Tommy Beard, by the way. You know, over the New York's last 10 games, Quickly is averaging 12.3 points while shooting, but scored 44% from downtown and 90% on free throws. And he's taking care of the ball. Only 77 turnovers in 1,625 career minutes. That's a positive. In this season, New York has allowed 116.3 points per game per 100 possessions when Kemba's on the court. New York has allowed, and my eyes don't deceive me at this stat too, has allowed just 98.5 points per game with Quickly on the court and 97 points per game with Rose on the court. So Quickly, a.k.a. Low Avery Bradley, a.k.a. Low Mike Bibby. I don't know what he want to be. I don't know if he want to be there. I don't know what he is, but numbers don't lie. Our tests don't lie. And matches both. I love Quickly, man. I love that kid, man.
Yeah, he's good. He's going to be good for us, man. Like I said, just the whole setup now, just like the whole, all the stats you gave up was Kemba. You know, so Kemba was definitely, like I said, the cankersaw on the offense. We got rid of it. We bust the cankersaw. We put a little oral gel on there or whatever we need to put on there to heal it up. So now, like I said, the next five games, I think, is really going to, like, really show us a lot here. But what are you going to say? Somebody said, he goes Big Taz. He said, Burks is not the answer long term, but he's much better for Kemba. I think at the present time, like, we can't, like think about long term. Because, I mean, long term, obviously, after Quickly, we got, what's the name, Deuce McBride. So that's long term right there. Those two guys are definitely going to be our point guards for the future. Eventually, you know, Quickly probably going to be put into that starting lineup. And then, you know, Deuce McBride might get pushed up. Or it might be vice versa. Maybe Deuce McBride jumps Quickly and becomes a starter, but Quickly could still be in the same role. You know, we don't never know what's going to happen with that. But I think long term, we already have that sold up as well. You know, Deuce and Quickly, that's going to be our point guards for the future. But right now, today, with the way that things are going on, Burks is the solution at point guard. Because, I mean, last year he was our closer. You know, so, you know, that was the writing on the wall from the beginning. We should have definitely had him there to begin, based off of what happened last year.
So, shout out to Deuce McBride. He had 28 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 made 3 pointers, 3 steals. Luka Šimunić,
yeah,
scored a game high 29 points to go along with 9 rebounds. Shout out to Walt Perrin, man. He's doing a hell of a he's doing a great job. And I think here's the thing, it's one thing to, when we say we want to build, right? When you looked at that game yesterday and you look at the outlook of this team and you see that rotation, it gives you a sense of accomplishment and it gives you a sense of hope because we then had losing seasons. We won 17 games to get RJ. We won, I think, 17 games to get we won 20. How many games we won to get Kevin Knox?
I mean, he was bad. That's all you need to know.
He was bad. Like, he was really bad. So to see all these guys on the court at one time, and we're actually winning is actually like meaningful minutes. It's not in garbage time. It's a blessing to see, especially with four of those draft picks that we have and Julius Randle on the court. That's the only time I want to see Randle on ball. But you got all them young boys on the court, on ball. Now you could ice. Now I want to see ISO Randle. You get what I'm saying? Because now you can mix and match, let all the kids play off you. When no starters is in there, you got to play off Burks. Let Burks do his thing. Let RJ, you know, set up RJ. But I would like to see more RJ on ball. RJ played so well with the bench unit, by the way. I would like to see more of that. And we're not going to sit here and tell me, oh, let's bring RJ off the bench. MSG Politics is undefeated. So that's not even a conversation I would like to even entertain with you.
You just see me smiling, right?
Yes.
Yo, shout out to Uncle Fulio. Remember he said that they was flaming him so hard, man? Oh, my God. It was like a barbecue chicken with that dude when he said that we should bench. He was saying we should put RJ in G League, we should bench him, all this other stuff. You know, at the time it was right because he wasn't shooting good. You know, but then, you know, RJ was able to step up. But I mean, you know, you make a good point, man. He does play better with the second unit, man. So I mean, like with Kemba Walker here. See, look at Kevin Nick's unit. I was trying to segue into that. He said we're wrong about Kemba. He's not done, you know. All right, so if Kemba Walker's not done, right, so that means that maybe we might be able to stick him in a trade or whatever. So maybe that trade is the guy to stick to replace RJ and move RJ to the bench.
Yeah, if you Yo, we don't do that here, dog. We don't do that. Come on.
No, but yo, it's about the team, right? So I mean, quickly plays fast, whatever. I like seeing
no
RJ.
No way in hell. No way the Knicks will put the number 3 pick on the bench for anybody. It could be Jesus. He ain't going to the bench. I promise you. That's like Julius Randle coming off the bench. Not on this roster.
well, you know, hear me out though. Like for Shits and Giggles, he does play good. You know, playing at a faster pace. You know, playing without having to worry about spots to get to and stuff. He was bringing up the ball, pulling up for three. You know, coming downhill, that type of thing. Playing with quickly, just a better look for him. You know, so let's say if he was to get like Walker, which still, you know, like my man said, he does still have something left in the tank. You got Walker. Let's say you add Nerlens to that. Maybe you put Kevin Knox in that mix. You know, maybe even draw the first round draft pick. Who could you pick up with something like that? To me, I think you could still pick up a decent NBA basketball player with that mix.
Ooh, I need to upgrade. I need to upgrade either the shooting guard spot or the point guard spot, or go get me a wing and move RJ back. Move RJ to the shooting guard spot. Well, a wing was out there.
Yeah, I think a wing would be nice. You know, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Like, say, like Fournier, RJ, whether somebody likes him off the bench or starting, whatever. But just having that third wing, because we don't have one. We don't have a third wing. Knox is it, and then Opie is the other kind of like wingish kind of player. So we don't really have like another wing. You know, aside for Grimes. Well, Grimes is more like a shooting guard. You know, so I think that's.
What if the vets don't play again? And the rookie show out. No. I hear you. No, hear me out. I understand that. No, Rose gonna play. I'm talking specifically about Nerlens Noel, Kemba Walker, because you can replace those two. I think Grimes is going to play. But if tomorrow I watch this Nets game, us against the versus Nets, and I see quickly and those young boys, Lomo Randle. I see them route the Nets tomorrow. You know the agenda. Play them kids. You know the agenda. Because you could probably move them in a deal as well. You want to get up their value. You're trying to improve the team. You can't trade. Nobody want Alec Burks by himself in no trade. That's foolishness.
I don't know, but we can't. I don't think we could trade Alec Burks at this point. But you know, like no. with the kids you're talking about, the kids is quickly. He's in the second year. Who's the other kid? Deuce McBride, you know, and then
no.
And you, Deuce McBride and not Deuce McBride, Quentin Grimes and Jericho Sims.
That's three. Mitchell Robinson, RJ Barrett. That's five.
Yeah, but Mitchell Robinson's starting and RJ Barrett is starting, so it's not, you know.
But quickly and Obi Toppin is helping us win games.
Right
now you can. You can't tell me Jericho Sims is not helping us win games. Whenever I see him touch the court, he's instant impact.
Yeah.
So, So, I'm going to ask you this. Okay. I understand in the playoff setting, but you don't think Tibbs is going to continue to go look at Jericho Sims for minutes? Because we both know Grimes is going to play. That's five.
Right.
Sims play, that's six. So if we're winning because of the kids, I mean, I would like for us to continue to, even when the vets come back, I would like for them to continue to play these guys, man. Play these guys with Randle, get these guys running up the court, and it also gets RJ Barrett easier looks.
Right. But you know, the thing about the kids thing, it's a little bit different for us, man, because these guys are like in their 20s. It's like Grimes is in his 20s, Jericho Sims is in his 20s, you know, so it's a little bit different, like play the kids kind of thing, because these guys are like basically like are already like, say, like 2 or 3 year veterans as far as age is concerned, you know, Obi Toppin as well. So, you know, playing the kids is still like, it's not the same as like playing these kids, because they're not 19. You know, these are like grown men, so it's a little bit different for us when you're talking about playing the kids and stuff. So I'm just saying that to say that Tom Thibodeau is going to be more inclined to play these guys because they're just a little bit more mature. You know, they're more game ready and stuff, so he's definitely going to be able to play them. So the issue for him to play the kids, I don't think that he would have that issue with this particular group, because it's just for the simple fact of how grown men they are. They just already, you know, they already got the grown men body going for them, for, you know, all of them, everybody that we mentioned, you know.
And you know, it's great to see. And it's not like we sitting here lying and saying that they're playing good and they're not really playing good, you know. Yeah. Frank Ntilikina. But you know, at the halftime, right, our score, the Atlanta bench, by 14. The combo of Obi, Quickly, Grimes, Sims had 24 points on 10 for 14 shooting, and 11 points in just 9 minutes of Obi topping in the first half. So it's little stuff like that. It's like, wait, hold on, we might be on to something here. So I hope Tim's comes to the realization, hey man, we need to play faster. We need some youth in this lineup. And it's not like, once again, like, we're not sitting here lying and saying that they're playing good and they're not playing good. No, they actually play well together. And yeah, they was running Atlanta off the court. That is a fact. Matter of fact, quickly, Trae Young scored 2 points in the fourth quarter. He didn't score his first points until below 1 minute in the fourth.
Yeah.
And that was because of what Quickly.
It was. Yeah, it was something. It was like a goofy score, you know, that he did. It wasn't really like he did anything. It was like something that goofy that he did. Yeah, so it's good, man. So I mean, like, what do you think about this? Like, I mean, you know, Manny Ramos, he said this a little earlier. He said Terrence Ross, and of course, we've been talking about Jeremy Grant for a minute, man. So, you know, I'm looking at guys like that, man. Like to mix in with these young guys that we got. So I mean, like if you eliminate some of the guys that we're talking about, like we mentioned before, we're talking about Nerlens and those guys. If he was to eliminate some of those guys and maybe add in another vet into these young guys, like a Ross or a Jeremy Grant, I think that would be enough to close the gap right there, you know.
At the starter position,
somewhere in the mix, however it gets done, you know.
I don't think the bench should be touched. if you want me to be honest with you, I think we just got to upgrade the starter position. We got enough ammo to do it without getting up a lot of players, honestly.
If we upgrade the starting position, somebody mm-hmm. that's starting now is going to have to go back to the bench. So, I mean, that's good too, though.
I mean, I don't see no lose-lose here.
Right.
you get what I'm saying? Like, I don't see how we could lose here. Because we can sit, like, if we beat the Nets tomorrow, and the kid, and a lot of these kids, five kids play. Let's say if RJ Barrett don't play. Let's say if Kevin Knox play, and he miraculously get 10 points or something. And we go on a win streak. RJ comes back, and RJ starts playing well. And, you know, these guys, Nerlens and these guys are still, you know, in hospital beds. Besides Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose, he could get as much rest as he wants, because I want him healthy, 100% healthy, because he's one of our team's best players. But let's see.
We got a tough week this week too, man. We play the Nets, yeah. We play the Bulls and the Nuggets.
I want smoke. I'm so confident right now. What Tibbs did yesterday tells me he's willing to adapt. It took him about a year and some months to switch on the light bulb, but you know, let's see if he continues to do what he do next game. Because the Nets don't got nobody inside. They don't got nobody in their paint. So there should be no reason why I don't see Mitch get a double-double the ball. To be honest. Jericho Sims, I don't know.
Well, yo, the Knicks play Phoenix, right? And then the Nets play Phoenix right after bat. So the Phoenix smoked them too, smoked the Nets as well. So did you get a chance to check any of that game? I didn't see it live, but I caught it after the fact.
No, I seen a lot of that game. I feel so bad for Kevin Durant. Not to get off topic a little bit, but
no, it's right on topic. Go ahead.
So you know, I throw a little shade. So KD chooses the Nets, and he follows Kyrie Irving. He then proceeds to trade all of the Nets assets, and you trade Jared Allen. You trade your only big, hence why you're supposed to draft a backup big. And, you know, you got Kyrie Irving, and now you got James Harden. You have no first-round picks to trade until 2028. And I watched this man play 33 straight minutes in a regular season game, coming a year off ACL, or was it Achilles? Doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for him because Kyrie doesn't want to be vaccinated, and you know the market that he's in. But you, like my mother said, my father said, you lay your bed, you sleep in it. You made that decision to follow that man to Brooklyn, so you lay your bed and you sleep in it. And what I would like the Knicks to do is stomp these guys by 20. And I would like for it to be because of Randle and them kids. I would absolutely love Randle to dominate them all. That goes with the agenda. Because we punch them, I feel like we got a win streak coming. Because I think the real issue with the offense was removed, but another layer was added. Grimes is probably one of the only people on the team, besides Kemba Walker, Julius Randle, who would even attempt a mid-range jumper. Can you give me some more mid-range jumpers? I seen Quickly try. Quickly been trying. He had a turnaround mid-range jumper that I like. He had a couple of these last few games, so he's working on his game.
Yo, one thing too, man, they must be watching the show because I get so mad every time I see a floater. But the last game against Atlanta, they made a lot of layups off the backboard, if you notice that. Some of those floaters were a little bit hard and they hit off the backboard. So I'm like, okay, so they must be watching the pod because I've been screaming for them to figure out something else to do. So I mean, like the floater is such a finesse shot. It should be just used in like only if you're going against somebody taller, not for every single shot you put up. So I see them at least doing that, like changing up the layup package because it's not working for us. Everybody's shooting floaters and nothing is working. So I just like to see that, man. I didn't mean to cut you off what you were saying, but
they learning, they working on their game.
Yeah, it's a big work in progress, man. So you know, with this Nets game, I'm just looking at the starters that they have out there now. Cause this kid, what's the white kid over there that they had? He has like wrist surgery, I think. Something's wrong with him with his wrist, I think.
Oh, on the Nets. I keep forgetting his name. I seen the new Joe Harris.
Yes, Mr. Harris. Yeah, Harris. He has like something wrong with his wrist or something like that.
Yep, 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, 48, yeah, 68, yep, 6 to 8 weeks. And also Blake Griffin, you know, he's completely out the rotation because he's done. He's basically done. He gave up. He played his best basketball probably in the playoffs, and that's it for him. I think they're never going back to him. Then you got LaMarcus Aldridge over there. You got somebody named Bembry, whatever. He had 18-9. You got Patty Mills, James Harden, Kevin Durant. The outside of that, they just got a ragtag bunch of guys. Cam Thomas, Paul Millsap. All these different guys that you never heard of, man. So, you know, like you said, we should be able to at least compete with them because they still got on Kevin Durant and they still got James Harden. But if we play our team defense in such a way to isolate, because we do a great job of isolating stars, you know, and but we always get killed by bums. You know, so that's the problem that we have when we face teams. But I think now, like you said, a winning streak might be coming. So, like, if we can play our game, you know, with the way that we've been playing, the bench mob comes in and runs them off the court, you know, we should be able to smoke these guys. And I would freaking love it if they do that, man. You know, it's only right. That's what I'm saying. Like, when you were talking about the Knicks breaking down the team, that's all right because it's right on target for what we're talking about. You know, just the building of this team. We're doing it the right way. Right now, the Nets are done. They just have what they have now, and they're just going to have to wait for it. For that to figure itself out, they basically got to wait for Kyrie to come back if he ever comes back. They have nothing else.
I don't know what the Nets could do. I don't know what they could do. That's on them. They chose their route. We chose our route. So I'm not too mad at that. But can we go back to something real quick before we get out of here? I don't want Kemba to be the scapegoat, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want Kemba Walker to be the scapegoat. So somebody got to defend that man. An article came out in Diamond. He spoke about how some of the Knicks top players, they was frustrated with the offense. I see Evan Fournier, he's in interviews, and he's talking about how the offense is stagnant. Get stagnant sometimes. You see Kemba Walker interview after the Suns loss, and he says No, the Suns move the ball. The Knicks don't move the ball. Just straight up criticizing Thibodeau on camera.
Yeah.
And then you see him taken out of the rotation. What I don't want the Knicks to do and to go back to is the politic crap. I don't want the politic crap to go along with these Knicks. Whoever is not playing, well, you sit there. Don't just try to scapegoat Kemba Walker for stuff like Julius Randle loafing under the basket, not running back on defense. Evan Fournier being a complete no-show when he's not shooting well. When RJ Barrett is playing like booty cheeks and averaging 8 points in four games straight, that is disgusting for a third overall pick. So in Thibodeau's sets where he has the point guard just runs up and give Randle the ball. Now, here's my question to you. No more than me. Do you think a vet point guard just goes up and gives the guy the ball willingly? Is he coached to do that? Is the sets making him do that? Or is he just doing that out of necessity because he cannot repeatedly put up shots because of his knees?
All right, well, the thing with that, you know, I just feel like Kemba Walker's been playing a certain way his whole career, you know what I'm saying? So now it's the same thing. Like, I think somebody mentioned it here. Maybe it's this comment here. He's kind of like asked Melo, you know? So, like, Melo was playing a certain way his whole career. So he was asking him to play a different way. You got Phil Jackson to come in here to work the triangle. Of course it wasn't going to work. You know, you have to build through Melo, and that's it. You know, you can't really do nothing else other than that. You can't do nothing crazy with the offense. You basically, if you got Melo here, you have to run the offense through Melo. All right, so now you got Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker is essentially the same type of player. You have to run the offense through Kemba Walker in order to get the most out of him. If you don't run it through him, then it's not going to work. So I think that's what we've been seeing. It just that Kemba Walker, he wants to play a certain way, but you know the Knicks are not playing the way that he played in Charlotte, and or the way that they play in Boston. They're not really playing off the point guard. You know, so now he has to sit back and figure it out now. So now he's in the stage of his career like Melo, where he got to figure, okay, listen, I'm not the man anymore. I'm not that guy, you know. So it took Melo mad long to figure that out. Now he's in his role now, like so many years later since he left the Knicks. So I think Kemba Walker is going to have to figure that out too, because it won't be with the Knicks now. I think that he's probably going to get sent off to another team. So I mean, like you were talking about the politics with Kemba. I think right now, because the Knicks can't do this to no other player, it would be crazy if he benched Julius Randle and put Obi Toppin, you know, as a starter. I think that
that's madness.
That's what I'm saying. That would cause too much of a ripple through the team.
I mean, bench him in a game. Yes. Like, completely right. Bench him from starting.
That too, though. He's been Tom Thibodeau's been benching Julius Randle in the fourth quarter and things like that. You know, so
he don't do it enough. He's been doing it the last few games. I ain't gonna lie, I think he scraped that Randle to give Burks the ball the other night.
Yeah. Well, remember that one game where he just straight blanked him? He didn't even play in the fourth quarter one time, you know, on Julius Randle. You know what I'm saying? So the messages are being sent out there. So this, I feel like this is the last message to RJ and to Julius. Say, listen, Kemba's out now. So you can't complain that Kemba's the one that's messing up the offense. Now it's back on you guys. Now I clean up the offense. Things seem to be working the way that I need it to work. So now you guys have to do your job. So this is a wake-up call. Because it just proves to you that nobody's bigger than anything. Because, you know, just judging from the press conference, the way that they were talking about Kemba, everybody's laughing. Oh, ask Tibbs, ha, 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 ha. You know, everybody's all happy. You know, everybody loves Kemba, the whole, you know, coming home thing. You know, so for him to bench Kemba after all of that was said, like somebody said, like my man here, he said his mom was there, you know, he had the baby in the background talking and stuff. So it was like a lot of drama with that. So for you to bench Kemba Walker like this, there is no politics. You know, this is for real. This is like, yo, we're trying to win games. Let's do it. Because the next thing now, if the Knicks don't come out of this, I think they will, though. I think this is going to energize the team. But if they don't come out of this, just best believe, I think some of these guys are gonna be traded before the end of the season. If they don't come out of this right now, you know, but I think they will.
I think they will, too. And I kind of I disagree with you with the RJ Randle thing, only because it's like Kang, like it's two different timelines. You have the sacred timeline, who's RJ Barrett, and then you got another timeline. in the branch off timeline is Julius Randle. But me, I want to stay on the sacred timeline. So I understand that this is the long game, right? If we just so happen and we're under 500 by January 1st, 2022, I promise you, Don, Knicks will be taking calls. They're not going to be taking calls from the RJ Barrett. I'm telling you that right there. Because if we're losing games, the people that's going to be really getting that blame, I'm going to start looking at Leon Rose. Gave out those contracts over this summer. And Leon Rose not going to be trying to take that hit. And he also drafted his son's client. So we'll see. We'll see how this play out.
Yeah, but you know, like let's say like it would be catastrophe straight up like that. It would be a catastrophe. But yes. At the same time, we have so many good young players that if we did sell high, you know, trade Julius Randle, get rid of Nerlens, that type of thing to clear up the money out of here, we could easily do that though, because these guys have a need around the league. You know what I'm saying? Well, even though he makes $10 million, he still has a need around the league, so we could probably move these guys pretty easily. You know, so but if we was to do that and just start playing the young guys and that type of thing, how satisfying would that be? It would still be satisfying as a fan, right?
I think you want to know what's so crazy. I don't think we'll be losing, y'all. Genuinely, and this is probably the first time, like, and people in the chat, you could disagree with me, dog, you could disagree with me, but this is the first time you got a nice little young core that could win you some games. Obi and Quickly won us some games. That is a fact. RJ then won us some games. That is a fact. Randy just turned 27. He won us some games. That is a fact. Without Jericho Sims minutes, will we have won that game? Would the Knicks have gone up 7 while he was on the court with Obi and those boys? We don't know, but it happened. That's fact. I really do think, genuinely in my heart, you know, a lot of people, you know, fans, you know, is Randle fans, they call RJ mediocre. There's RJ fans who call Randle mediocre. I don't really got to pin those boys against each other, honestly. I would love to see, I love watching Randle on ball with 4 kids on the court. I loved it because it makes sense. You get what I'm saying? Like, it from a basketball standpoint, okay, Randle on ball, he got them kids. You know Grimes going to cut. You know Obi going to cut. You know Sims is going to catch anything he gets to the rim. Matter of fact, didn't Randle have a nice sweet pass to Sims under the rim? A nice little dump-off pass? I said, oh, okay. Julius, Chris Webber back? All right. So that's a lot of things we want to see, man. I think we can go on a win streak, man. I'm hoping we could just continue that energy, man.
I think so too. I think right now, as the little change that we just did, I think that's gonna spark the team. But you know, back to what you were saying about the young guys. Let's say if we was to start selling high, let's say if we're below, you know, 500, that type of thing, and we want to try to you know, prepare for the draft and that type of thing. If that was to go down, I think that we still, like you said, I think we still would win. Because I mean, if you trade Julius and all these guys, you're gonna get something back. I think what we get back is still gonna be enough to keep us in the playoff run. You know, because now you got to start Obi. You might have to shift the starting lineup a little bit, but I think with the players that we get back, we still might actually be able to win. You know, so I just think there's nothing that's going to stop us from doing what we need to do this year, I think.
So, hot take early. Alec Burks, Manu Quickly, Obi Toppin saving the next season? Are you kidding me? what are we watching here?
I don't know,
and I think Grimes is a winning play.
Absolutely.
He has yet to look to me. I watched Kevin Knox for 4 years, dog. I watched Grimes, they're two different players.
Yeah,
Grimes is so nasty defensively, he's in grills 100% of the time. And grills, and I just love his motor, man. All these kids got motors. That's the one thing I love about Walt Perrin, man. He drafts these boys that got motors, man. I love it, bro.
Yeah, and shout out with stats. You know, like people, you know, they were talking about how you know, the Candyman, Frank Ntilikina, that his stats, oh, the stuff that he does, you know, see on the stat sheet, that was all bullshit. But with Quentin Grimes right now, like based off of what's been happening for his career so far, only 8 games, he only playing 7 minutes a game, you know, the stats is not even worth mentioning. You know, but just regardless of that fact, him out there playing basketball is a plus no matter what. Because what he does literally does not show up on the stat sheet. You know, him being able to get back on defense, closing out lanes and stuff like that, staying in front of guys, sticking jump shots when he's open. You know, the little things that you don't see in the stat sheet. That alley-oop to Obi Toppin was incredible, man. You know, so there's little things like that he does to impact the game. You're just not really going to see that stuff on the stat sheet. So he truly is that guy, you know, like that we've been saying that all these other guys were. He really is that guy, man. So, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting to really talk about basketball and not be in like the realm of fantasy where we're like, you know, talking about, you know, what we think. But now we can actually talk what actually is happening in front of our face, you know?
Yeah, it's not like. It's not like we're sitting here and we're making guesses, because it's actually like it's tangible. Like we can see it, like we can see it happening on the court. Every time Grimes is on the court, something nice happens, man. Something special happens. I like Grimes. I like Deuce McBride. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. Let's see. And here's another thing too. I get on these vets. But Obi Toppin behind Randall, he got a guy who can show him. He got a family man. He's a family man. He spends his money wisely. Got commercials. You know, he's understanding the game, bringing him along slowly. You know, you got Taj Gibson. So the OG, he keep the youngins in check. Y'all see none of the youngins getting treated like PJ Washington over there on the Charlotte Hornets. You see the youngins, they got all their joints in check. They got their money right. They not in these clubs making us look stupid. And when you watch a guy like Burks, you want a guy like Quentin Grimes to kind of emulate that Swiss Army knife trying to do everything. Sad to say, Burks is playing the role that we always wish Frank Ntilikina could have played, you know? And they're kind of the same size, but Burks got a shorter wingspan. But that 99-cent James Harden, it bears well. You need that. So,
yeah.
Hey, man, I think there's no way, honestly, if we're just trying to be positive and keep it on a positive note, I don't think there's no way the Knicks could tank, honestly, this season. If they play them kids with Randall, these minutes, man. I don't think there's no way they're going to tank, because the kids is just going to be too good. I think quickly is really going to be. I think he could be even better than what he is, from what I'm saying.
Absolutely, you know. You know, there's a song by Biggie back in the days that you can't stop the rain, motherfucker. You can't stop the rain, man. You know, the Knicks are on a trajectory right now that I think that no matter what, nothing's going to stop it, because we have the bases covered so much. You know, we have the draft picks in the future. We got young players on the team now. You know, we got cap flexibility. We have anything that we want to do right now to succeed. So nothing's going to stop it. No matter what we decide to do, nothing's going to stop what we got right now, what we got going for us. So, you know, this is a great time to be alive, great time to be a Knicks fan.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I just love what each young guy brings individually. And that's a testament to our developmental staff. None of these guys like play the same. They all bring something different, like a different element to the game. You know, quickly, cojones. that man is going to take that shot. I love you, man. Quickly, and Quickly is great defensively this year, man. He is salute the man, Quickly, man. I really appreciate you working on your defense. I don't know, Sherman. I don't know if the Knicks are 37-win team, man. I don't know, man. I think you're not giving them kids enough credit, man. I think them boys is ready, man, to start producing.
Dude. Well, you know, he's been talking about Obi Toppin, you know, the last couple of comments. He's just been talking about Obi Toppin and stuff, just about the dunks. So One of the stuff things that he said earlier was like, please give him something better that he does than Randle. You know, that he will hold his breath for an answer. That's so he's basically talking about Obi Toppin, you know what he brings versus what Randle brings.
He's such a you can't say that straw man comment on him, man. That is such a straw man scarecrow comment. You know, Obi right now is not better than Randle. We both know that. We all know that. But when you see the team function on the court with Obi compared to Julius Randle, what are you seeing? You're seeing the ball move. You're seeing defensively we played better. You see Obi switching on Trae Young and not get beat off the dribble. Like, these are things that you're seeing. You see a guy who runs the floor hard every single time to the point where he's on the bench, and I'm hoping they get that man some water. Yeah. So, you know, we both know Obi's not better than Julius Randle, all right? But winning basketball, it looks like Obi is playing better winning basketball, if you want to go that route, than Julius Randle. I don't know what basketball season you're watching, brother. I know what I'm watching, so we'll see.
Well, I get what he's getting at, though, because, you know, my main gripe against Obi Toppin is the fact that he's not really physical inside. You know, so, like, just to compare him to Jericho Sims, he boxes out. He was boxing out Capella, making him look small. Even though Capella still got his hand on a lot of rebounds and stuff like that, he was able to seal off Capella, and Capella couldn't do nothing about it. But if Obi Toppin is there, that's when Capella's getting his rebounds. You know, because Obi Toppin's not sealing anything off. He's just kind of a pogo stick jumping up and down, not really sealing the paint. So in that way, I think that's what he's getting at as far as, like, the physicality in the game, that type of thing. But if you're going to play Obi Toppin, you have to deal with the fact that he's not going to do that. You know, but he will give you 110% energy out there. So you have to give the kid credit for what is due, for what he does well, you know?
So, but this is why you could appreciate a guy like Obi Toppin. When you see Obi and Jericho Sims on the court together last game against the Hawks, they looked really good on switches.
Yeah.
Sims got lost a couple times, but Sims is the oldest guy in that starting lineup. He's a rookie.
Yeah, that's the point I was trying to make before. All the guys, I think Grimes is the youngest. Grimes is 21. You know what I'm saying? He's like the youngest out of those guys.
No, RJ younger than Grimes.
For real? Yeah. RJ's not 21 yet?
RJ 21, but he's younger by like months.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's funny, man.
That's very funny.
Yeah, so we got a special mix, I think, man, with the guys that we have here, with the rookies and stuff. It's just different. You know, we got a different set of guys here. It's not the same, like, 19-year-olds trying to figure it out. We got grown men here, you know? Grown men out there. Even Julius Randle's pretty young, 27 years old.
Yeah.
Evan Fournier's not even 30 yet. He's 29.
No. He's 20, yep.
Yeah, man.
But it's nice to see.
Yeah.
Obi needs to be traded. Why we gotta trade Obi? I don't see the reason. I don't want to trade Obi. It's a certain. What are you watching? I need to know what is people watching?
You see this?
Obi is good, but he needs to be packaged with.
You got to take a walk. Like, I hate saying it, devil's advocate, you know what I'm saying? But not for nothing, if you trade Obi and RJ, you're going to get back a really good player at this point now. You know, it's not going to be a slouch player, so I get it. I get where you're coming from, but, I mean, you know, if you want to win games, man, you got to be careful of what you do in these type of things here. So, RJ and Obi, let me get his ears back in. You got your ears back in. So, yo, devil's advocate, man, you know what I'm saying? So, Obi Toppin and RJ, that can actually pull a decent player.
Dame and Randle not winning no championship. Randle and Donovan Mitchell not winning a championship. Nobody's guarding a perimeter. I guess you want vet minimum wing players to guard your perimeter, like the Lakers. Who's like Randle and SGA? They're not winning a championship. Matter of fact, SGA shoots worse than Randle from the field this season. And he cannot defend a lick. So that's not winning me a championship. So who are you packaging these players for? For De'Aaron Fox? You think Fox and Randall's winning me a championship? do you stepped on? do you stepped on? Brother, you're bugging. You better build slow. This is gonna be a well-oiled machine, brother. We ain't gotta rush nothing. I'm not trading RJ. None of those trade packages I just said, none of those teams win a championship. And I'm not interested in rushing for, with nothing. You see that 7 foot monster over there in Milwaukee? You see that 7 foot? You think Randall and Davis is gonna beat Drew Holiday, Chris Kobe Middleton, and Giannis? Please. Let's slow down. Let's build this thing right, man. Please.
All right, so one funny thing is, he said for Ben Simmons, would you trade Obi and RJ for Ben Simmons?
I'm not trading Obi and RJ for Ben Simmons. Next question.
I got you. I'm not with it either, man, because, I mean, like, in order to have a good team, because look at the Nets, and Nets are very top-heavy. We were just talking about it. They got Durant. They do have Harden. They got, you know, Kyrie. I don't know when he's going to come back. But they have nobody else. You know, They had Blake Griffin. They had to bench him because he's not doing nothing anymore. Outside of that, they got Millsap and all these other guys and a bunch of no-name people. You know, so they got to rely on Joe Smoltz to come out there and produce, to play with these guys, man. So, you know, to have a solid team, you need solid players 1 through 10 through 15. You know, big 15 like we were saying last year. So, you know, I like what we're doing, man. So, I mean, like I was saying before, if you're going to trade anybody, it's definitely going to be the New Orleans of the world. It's definitely going to be, like, something like that in the mix to get that one little piece to add to these guys to prepare us for the playoffs. So I think that's the tip that we're going to be on, and, you know, as the season goes along. I don't think it's going to be something blockbuster, but I think we might make a little move to get us that extra piece for the playoffs, I think. If we do anything at all, you know?
Yeah. I'm not trading. Yeah, I can't trade IQ and Obi, man. Because who's going to step up to replace that production at that moment? And I'm not doing it, bro. You need a team to win championships, bro. I'm good, bro. I want to just build this. I'd rather build slow, man. I'm not giving up 4 or 5 draft picks. Nah, man. Now, if you want to talk to me, you know, 2-3 years from now, you know, we got some cap space, and Donovan, you know, Spider-Man want to come home, then we could talk some, you know. Spider-Man want to come home, you know. Giannis want a new challenge. He talking about, you know damn well he ain't staying in Milwaukee past 2025, so he might want a new challenge. Let's see, man. Well, let these young boys cook for right now, man. Let's see. I told you, Don. I think we're gonna have a super team before this decade is over. I think we really, and I don't know when, but I'm confident in that.
Now we know what's coming, because we're still gonna have these guys on rookie scale deals when that time happens. Like Deuce McBride, all these guys, Grimes, and you know, Sims. All these guys are still gonna be rookie deals when we're able to have that cap space. So we're gonna be able to cheat, because I think Sims might be a starter. You know, Jericho Sims is definitely gonna be in a rotation. Deuce is gonna be in a rotation. So, you know, that super team stuff that you were talking, I think that is going to happen a few years from now. But I just want to highlight, just to add on to this trading thing, because just as long as Tom Thibodeau is there, he's like 64, right, whatever how old he is, as long as he's there, the win now coach, that at the present moment, like, we're still going to have that lingering thing that a trade is going to be there to win today, you know, to try to win now. Not to mortgage the future, but just to do something small to try to win today. I think that's still going to be on the table for, you know, as long as Thibodeau is here. And, you know, I don't think, you know, because I think the Knicks are forward thinking. I don't think they're going to mess up the future, you know, because like I said, the super team thing that you're talking about, I think that's absolutely in play. You know, there was no reason why Leon Rose and all these guys are here if you're not thinking that way. You know, but still, with Tom Thibodeau here, I think there's always the outside chance of us doing something to make today's team, you know, to boost today's team, you know, roster, you know?
Yes. I don't know. If you're – so this is rare, but if you're going the Golden State route, if you're winning because of those kids, what you trading for?
Yo, that's a good – that's a good point, man. That's
what you trading for? Why you even – I'm going to give you a good example. So there was a point before the Warriors really took off. They were supposed to trade Klay Thompson for Kevin Love. Remember that?
Yeah.
The owner said, hell no. So what I'm hoping is James Dolan, they try to trade any one of the three kids, you step in and you say hell no. Because if we build the right way, pay the kids, yo. Pay them. You pay Nerlens, you know, for that COVID 2K fans and sands in the season. You know, you pay Derrick Rose earned his money. So and Derrick Rose is performing well this year. So he should be paid where he is. You gave Randle this money after this COVID season. That man is loafing under the basket. He has no business loafing. So we gonna see.
Yeah,
Alec Burks, he got paid, but he playing damn well. He earning that bread. Evan Fournier, you getting $18 million to give me? You giving me less points? You giving me 13 points a game? 13? Whoa! Y'all could have paid the high for Lonzo if you was going to give me 13 a game. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Just a simple fact that you brought up Golden State, that's a great thing there, man. Because, I mean, they do have Stephen Curry there, but they're relying on Jordan Poole, you know, one of the homegrown picks that they got, Damian Lee. You know, Draymond is still there. He's also a homegrown pick. They got Andrew Wiggins there. They brought over Otto Porter. They signed off the humble. You know, this other guy, Nemanja, whatever his name, Belichick, whatever his name is, Gary Payton Jr. You know, a bunch of different guys. Kuminga, they got there. They also got the other kid, the center that's been hurt.
Wiseman. Oh, my God.
They got Wiseman still. And now they got Clay still in the thing. So, I mean, you know, that's just a foreshadowing for the Knicks, because we're going to be on the same page. Once our rookies start to become who they're supposed to come, we're going to have cash and all this other stuff to be able to slap on extra players on here, man, with the salary cap and things of that nature, man. So, you know, we're not just talking out of our behinds. You know, this is like you can't stop the rain, bro. You can't stop it. You can't stop the rain.
This is one of the pivotal moments right now. So I might be off the wall with what I'm about to say. And I guess we could get out of here after this.
Yeah.
This how off the wall this about to be. We're at a pivotal moment right now where we can actually see the Knicks grow a homegrown juggernaut. If they continue to play these kids, RJ, Mitch, Obi, Quickly, Grimes, you got five boys in there. If you play Jericho, since that's six. If you continue to win games, let's say we go on a win streak and you playing the kids, yo, ride that wave. Don't sit them boys, because you got something special there. Avoid all trades. You might have to hang up on dudes. You want a vet? All right, cool. You can't have a young core. you might really have to, because that chemistry, them boys get drafted together. They like best buddies. I've been upstate to college, bro. Like, it's nothing like your roommate, because that's the person that you got to see most of the time. So we going to see people who played on professional sports. You know, we going to see, man.
We seen it, man. Like, Deuce McBride and Grimes, during shoot around, they're right next to each other. We saw that, you know, in the Boston game, right? They were standing right next to each other the whole time. Mm-hmm. But I guess we could leave this right here as the parting shot. He's talking about, you know, pull up the numbers for the Magical Kids and grown ass man, that blah 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 blah. You know, like for him to say that, you really don't get what we're saying. You know, because it's not at this point in time, it's not really necessarily about the numbers. Because Quentin Grimes, if I pull up Quentin Grimes' numbers, you're gonna be like, well, that doesn't look like a good basketball player. You know, yes. But as far as the team is concerned, well, you know, the mixture of the 10 guys that we're going to be using to play going forward, you know, and then leading up until down the line when we could do things, you know, this is the magic that we have that going for us, you know. So you really have to pay attention, watch the games, and just enjoy the moment, because I feel like we're on a path right now that can't be stopped, you know. So, you know, I'm like I said, I'm glad that we waited, because we wouldn't be saying shit like this if it was Friday. Friday, we wasn't saying shit like this, you know. So, you know, winning does cure all. So I think this Kemba thing, we're all talking about Kemba. I think this is going to, like, you know, this is going to right the ship, I think. I definitely think so.
It better. It better. I hope. My prediction comes to fruition, man. We play the Cavs and go on a win streak. That'd be so nice. I think this team could really compete. Yeah, I think we're a better team than what we've shown. And, you know, early first 20 games has been a letdown. But let's see. He put a change in his rotation. So I'm assuming that he's doing 20 game samples. And I guess a 20 game sample is a large enough sample size to understand what works and what don't work. So,
you know what's funny? Like right after the after we play the Nets, we have 12 days we have 12 games till Christmas. Basically, start from the Nets, we got 12 games to Christmas. So that's like a magical number there, you know, for Christmas and shit. So we'll see, man. In these 12 games, we definitely going to figure out what type of team we have by the time we play Atlanta again, you know, on Christmas Day.
I think that young Warriors team went on on like a 13-game win streak in 2014. And that's when you knew, like, oh, they on their way. They on their way. They coming. The Spurs is good. OKC, they good. But that young Golden State team, you knew something was brewing over there. And then you get that one. I think we just need that one free agent signing or that one trade without giving up a lot. Like that Andre Iguodala, where you can just bloop, drop that person in the starting lineup or flop him off the bench. And I think we good to go, man.
Yeah.
But we can we can always look for trades to improve the team. But hey, the Golden State Warriors was not looking for trades, and they curved a Klay Thompson trade before they went on that magical run. So you better think before you try to just trade all these guys for Damian Lillard, a 34-year-old guy or a 33-year-old guy. Who realistically, what you want? You just want deep threes? Quickly, you shoot me some deep threes.
people they did too. That first championship, they had David Lee, they had Bogut. They had a couple guys on that team that wasn't on the next team. You know, so they were able to cheat a little bit to get more talent. And that's how they was able to get Durant, that type of thing too. So, you know, our story is still being told, man. So, you know, like I said, you can't stop the rain, man. I think the Knicks are going to be really good now. Absolutely. Sure.
All right, man, I guess we got into it, man. Y'all boys, they know where to find us, man. I guess you could put up the graphic, man. Amazon, Alexa, Google Play, Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Player FM, AHA Radio, Apple Podcasts. Y'all know where to find us, man. Let's go. Let's see. Tibbs, please keep Nerlens out of the rotation. I don't want to see him when he come back. Kemba Walker, he can stay out of the rotation. I don't want to see him no more playing. And let's see what we do. Go next. That's all I got, man. I'm out of here, man.
Yeah, man. Peace, guys. See you guys on the next one.
Yes, sir.